For Christian parents of previous generations, raising Christian children in America was an experience that was accepted, even supported by our predominantly Christian culture. Even most non-Christians in society still lived and raised their kids by a common Judeo-Christian ethic. Today, however, many Americans have perverted the freedoms that our forefathers fought and died to defend, thus creating an anything-goes mentality and a citizenry that not only revels in perversity, but somewhat expects us to approve of it. Is it still possible to raise godly kids in an ungodly world? We'll find out today on License to Parent. Welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long, Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our goal? Well, we want to bring the life lessons being learned inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill outside the gates in order to equip you to teach your teens some of the same lessons and thus avoid the need for a residential treatment program. Our host on License to Parent is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rossell. And Trace, this topic of raising godly kids in an ungodly culture really is what we are all about here on License to Parent, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why the tagline of our program is Insight for Today's Culture. Today, Rich, as we often say, the culture really is the other parent.
Yeah.
And because of the proliferation of today's high-tech digital technology, there's literally a 24/7 indoctrination waged not just against our kids, but against us as parents as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we look at today's church, it doesn't take a Phi Beta Kappa to see that our increasingly pagan culture has crept into our theology and worship as well, much like the days of Old Testament Israel. So, you know, as we raise our kids according to the dictates of Oprah and pop psychology rather than God's word, well, we're now paying the man for that.
Yeah. Well, in my introduction a moment ago, I alluded to the fact that a lot has changed just since you and I were kids, but this migration away from a spiritual foundation to the way that we raise our kids even predates us. That's no surprise, really, but we wanted to have someone on the program who speaks very well about the need for a strong spiritual foundation to undergird everything we do in life, including raising our children, and that someone is Steve Hamm. Steve is the Senior Director of Worldwide Outreach for the Ministry of Answers in Genesis. He is a regular speaker and writer for the ministry and hosts the popular podcast Answers Conversations. Steve has a passion not only for creation apologetics, but also for providing support to strengthen the worldwide church in this great mission of the gospel. Among his authored materials, the Answers for Life Evangelism course has been used very effectively to see many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Steve Hamm, by the way, is married to Trish, and since we always like to give parenting credentials, he is the father to Sarah and David.
Awesome. Steve, welcome to the License to Parent broadcast, brother.
Hey, gentlemen. It is great to be on. Thank you very much for having me.
God bless you for being here. Hey, Steve, your book, Raising Godly Children in an Ungodly World, is basically, as I see it anyway, an apologetic for the Bible being the starting point for all of life and for our discussion today, parenting our kids as well. That's our belief here on the License to Parent broadcast, and it's certainly been our fundamental belief, tool, and resource for the proving ground that we call Shepherd's Hill Academy. But despite our success at Shepherd's Hill and the successes of other ministries that use Scripture as their foundation for healing, why is the Bible still so marginalized in our nation when it comes to life in general, but particularly parenting?
Well, I would say it's probably not just in our nation. I think the Bible is marginalized all over the world, really. And we don't expect the world to be anything other than the world. We are living in not just an ungodly nation, but an ungodly world. But in our culture specifically, we have seen really a continuing decline in the respect for scriptures. And mm-hmm. one of the major reasons for that is because of the evolutionization of our society, if I can use a word like that. It's we've really seen people being influenced by the agnostic, atheistic, naturalistic worldviews that are really coming through all sorts of media. It's amazing that you actually said before that you saw the culture in what's coming through the media, those sorts of things, as the other parent. Mm-hmm. And that really honestly there's a great ring of truth to that. You know, every time a parent turns on their television, they lose control of the worldview.
That's right.
And, you know, we wouldn't say to people, don't turn on your television sets or don't have them, but acknowledge that, for instance, your children are watching Discovery Channel or Animal Planet. The worldview coming over there is predominantly a naturalistic worldview.
Right.
And when you are being told that, hey, you are a rearrangement of molecules, that in the beginning there was nothing that became something and went bang, and billions of years later the Earth forms as a molten blob and somehow water forms and life springs into existence, and over millions of years of random chance processes, you eventually end up with ape-like creatures and then human beings, where is that in any scriptural reference?
Right.
Where is that in the history that we are given in God's word? And if we don't defend against that, the kids are going to say, then particularly in what we're seeing in the next generation, hey, how do I believe this truth? Why do I need a savior? What is the gospel? Because it's not even coherent to me, and all of those things get lost. So
yeah,
that's where I see it in.
Well, the media really is an indoctrination tool. I had a person very close to me, actually, not very long ago, make this statement that the movie Noah was the best biblical movie he's ever seen.
Wow.
Now, that to me is astonishing. Can you comment on that?
Well, if he was talking about Ray Comfort's movie, Noah and the Last Days.
No, he wasn't.
He's not. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. We do have to be able to speak out about those issues. In fact, the Noah movie that Russell Crowe was in had more to do with Gnosticism than it did with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the very beginning of the movie, you see these spiritual-like beings without bodies in this world, and you don't see them getting bodies until after sin. Well, that's a Gnostic concept.
Mm-hmm.
That's flesh is evil, and that came out of Gnosticism. So you see a lot of those types of things in that movie, and as you go on, it doesn't get any better. There is so many things that just do not line up with
mm-hmm.
the text of Scripture. So we need to be able to use that, and I really mean that we should use that. We don't necessarily have to go and see those movies if they're not right for Christians to see, but we certainly hear a lot about them. We at least know from the media and a lot of the conjecture about them what they're about, but we can use that. We can sit down with people who have gone to those things and say, hey, what did it say? What did it do? Okay, let's open the Scriptures and show you what the detail of Scripture is, and let's show you how this is actually scientifically
mm-hmm.
credible compared to the Noah movie. And you see so many great opportunities coming through that.
Yeah. I just thought it was emblematic of the state of the church at large when a movie can be so distorted like that, and then for him to say it's the best one he's ever seen. Well, how can Christian parents, you know, once again make Scripture a credible resource to parents of the greater society?
You know, here's what the book that we wrote was all about, Raising Godly Children in an Ungodly World. It actually wasn't about Ken's parenting or my parenting, but it was about the parenting that we received
sure.
from our father.
Sure.
And one of the great things that we consistently saw our dad do in answering this question is we saw dad actually practically and in his own life, in his stance, in his worldview, in everything that he did, he was standing on the authority of the Word of God and teaching it to his children. And he would say, look at that. Well, this is what the Word of God says, so this is how you explain what you're looking at. We were constantly looking at the world through the lens of Scripture and constantly seeing that the world confirms the lens of Scripture.
Right.
And so that's something that I think that Answers in Genesis is really trying hard to encourage parents to think about. We really need to help our children see that the Bible is true, reliable, credible history, that when we look in this world that is a real and physical world, what we see in it actually confirms the history that is in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, it confirms that you can believe the spiritual truths in the Word of God, if you can believe the historical, physical truths.
Yeah.
And we just had that all the time. And so we want to train people to be able to say, hey, you can stand on the authority of the Word of God practically. If I may, I'd like to give one very quick example. My father had on his workbench his Bible opened. I watched him do this, and from the account of Genesis 6 to 8, he looked at all of the cubits in the height, length, and width of the ark, and he scaled it to a model that he built and put in our swimming pool to say, look at the dimensions of this. If I create waves, this has got the right dimensions to suffer oceanic turmoil. And he showed us that God gave us a scientifically credible account of a vessel that is seaworthy.
Wow. By the way, oceanic turmoil, is that like doing a cannonball into the pool? Exactly. What sort of wave did he make?
Well, Dad didn't do the cannonball. He wasn't that type of guy. It's sort of something I would have done. But
your dad, he was an educated man, was he not?
Dad was a school principal.
Yeah. Many parents, maybe they don't have the PhD or the master's degree that maybe their kids' teachers have or their professors. You know, is it the letters behind the name that draw kids toward maybe believing the school teacher over what mom or dad has taught them? I mean, even for many Christian parents, it seems that pop psychology has replaced scriptural truth and principles when it comes to raising our kids.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. You know where I see the letters behind their names having more of an effect, and it's actually not in the household, but it's in scholarship, even within Christian scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do believe, gentlemen, as you read through scripture, you can read about issues in the fear of man. And I believe that there are many people, due to academic pride and academic concerns, that they have said, oh, I don't want to be outside of the academic consensus, even though it's a secular academic consensus.
It's peer pressure, isn't it?
Right, it is. And unfortunately, that all flows down. I don't believe it's just starting at the students. In fact, we have found many times that sometimes we've gone into places where the leader or a pastor or a scholar hasn't necessarily agreed with us, but allowed us time to teach their people. Their people are much more readily actually relieved to see that the Bible is true compared to some of the scholars and leaders. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're all like that. Believe me, there are a lot of very, very good men who stand sure. on the authority of the Word of God. But there are many who haven't, who are very, who have really disconnected God's history from reality yeah. by taking on the world's views and trying to insert them into the text.
Right.
And that's where it flows down from. So if that's flowing down, it's flowing down through the church, through teaching, through different areas like that. It's very hard for our kids to be able to deal against it. That's why parents have to stand so strongly.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, in your book, you talk about the importance of a legacy. First, what is a legacy and why is it so important for parents and their kids?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the great chapters in the Bible is in Psalms, in talking about the Lord building the house, or those who build it labor in vain. And it talks about our children being a heritage from the Lord. And really, that legacy, what you're leaving, is something that God is instructing you to do now. It's not that we're trying to build something that's about us. You know, mm-hmm. I want to leave my mark in my children.
Right.
That's pride. The Bible speaks against pride.
Right.
But the Bible does give us something now, because we are really commissioned to raise godly generations. And so it is the parents' job to be, you know, gospel communicators. It's our job to help our children understand the truth of the authority of the Word of God, how they can defend it, and understand the biblical, you know, language. I'm not talking about having to understand Hebrew and Greek here. I'm talking about how to understand what is the, having biblical coherency, or at least literacy, having them understand what the Bible is really teaching. And one area that we see this going wrong, which is I see it today, is in Nehemiah. You see, they were coming back and building the wall, but but many of the Israelites had gone off with women of foreign nations, and they were teaching their children, or at least the women were teaching their children the foreign languages. They didn't even know the Israelite language anymore. And so half of them had walked away. You can see, as you start compromising with the world, you start losing that ability for heritage. Could you imagine if Israel had just been allowed to go fully all with the other nations, what would have happened to the legacy of the biblical truth of God's people?
Sure. Yeah.
It would have just gone. And we see a lot of that today as we see parents allowing the influence of the world to come into their homes without dealing with it and without making the Bible so prominent.
Absolutely right.
We're talking about legacy, we're talking about a strong foundational support for the way we raise our kids, and we're talking with a gentleman by the name of Steve Hamm. Steve is our guest on Licensed to Parent. He's the Senior Director of Worldwide Outreach for Answers in Genesis, host of the popular weekly podcast Answers Conversations, and author of the book we're discussing, Raising Godly Kids in an Ungodly World. You can find out more at answersingenesis.org. We'll be back with more Licensed to Parent and our conversation with Steve Hamm when we continue in just a moment. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org. You can find out more about the Licensed to Parent broadcast and our parent ministry, Shepherd's Hill Academy, when you visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. I'm Rich Rosel. Our host is Trace Embry, and our guest today, Steve Hamm from Answers in Genesis, and we're discussing his book entitled Raising Godly Kids in an Ungodly World.
Steve, in the book, you also talk about Old Testament Israel losing its godly heritage during King Rehoboam's reign in just one generation, and that without the internet. A similar thing appears to have happened here in the States. What can and should Christian parents be doing right now to help their kids and this nation return to its godly heritage?
Yeah, well, understand the language of the nation that is speaking to our children. I think we need to understand the worldview around us that we're living in, the man's word versus God's word, world that we're living in. And it is about language. Our children are starting to speak the language of Darwin and of the uniformitarians and,
postmodern thought.
Pardon?
Postmodern thought.
And you
have to define the terms. I mean, they're using godly terms with the devil's dictionary, and our parents are making a disconnect there.
And in fact, we're losing a point of who the author of truth is, who the author of particular issues are. You know, our children are living in a culture that is saying, hey, we're legalizing, for instance, homosexual marriage. Well, who is the author of marriage? We need to go back. It's not how we define it. It's not how the reader defines it. It's how the author defined it. And God defines marriage in his word in Genesis 2, that it is one man, one woman to leave and cleave, to come together for life, and in Ephesians to represent Christ and his church. So, you know, the author of marriage has given us the definition of marriage because he created marriage, and yet our society is redefining terms in their postmodernist worldview. And why shouldn't there be a postmodernist worldview? Because, you know, why shouldn't anybody define anything the way that they want to? Because who says anything is right or wrong in an evolutionary world?
Exactly. And we're getting a lot of that postmodern worldview indoctrination, certainly through the entertainment options, the many entertainment options that they have. And in light of so many of these entertainment options and distractions these days, how can parents do a better job of keeping their kids more committed and focused on God and his word without kids feeling it's being jammed down their throat, so they're being deprived of all the other entertainment options that the rest of the neighborhood kids have?
Yeah, I know we talk about, you know, jamming things down kids' throats, and I want to be careful about that, even that comment that, you know, my father certainly gave us the Word of God a lot. I mean, you know, he had morning breakfast table devotion time. He would remind us, have spiritual conversations with us about certain things and help us and ask us questions. What does God's Word say about what we're looking at? My kids knew that as they watched a Disney movie, there would always be somewhere that I'd stop it in there and ask them a question, because Disney's worldview is nothing like the biblical worldview, right? And there'd be many opportunities to bring that in. But don't forget that, you know, we read that Israel was told that when they're walking in and out of the gate, that before their eyes, you know, that parents are to keep God's word before their children all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not forcing it down their throat. It's actually obeying Scripture.
It's taking advantage of teachable moments and fulfilling the, Deuteronomy 6, 6, and 7?
It's Deuteronomy 7, 6 and 7.
Well,
yeah.
One thing about this, though, your dad, Steve, did not cram it down your throat from all indications of what you're saying. He lived it out. I mean, I don't think you have quoted yet in our conversation, my father always used to say this, this, and this. You talked about he built the boat and put it in the swimming pool, and he, you know, he did this, he did that. It's the leading by example. You know, that's not cramming anything down anybody's throat. It's living it out in front of them.
It's more like seeing a sermon every day rather than hearing one, I think.
And, yeah, but we heard it too.
Just faith comes by hearing, right?
I do understand what you're saying. I suppose what I'm saying here is that as much as Dad did live it out, and I agree with you, gentlemen, I think this is an absolutely important fact. He also very much agreed with the use of words, and we heard his words a lot as well. And
awesome.
There may have been times, in fact there were, where I was thinking, yeah, okay, Dad, I've, you know, had a bit of enough of that. You know what? We firmly believe that, you know, it's the Word of God that doesn't return void. And you know, he gave us that. Dad had faults, and so do I with my children. But at the end of the day, whatever we do as a parent doesn't save our children. We've got to give the gospel, and we've got to pray for their salvation. And it's, you know, it's the Lord's work.
Yeah, and I think something key to what we were just talking about there was the word dad. I mean, I'm sure your mom had a tremendous influence on you, but dads, they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the home. And of course, we've got a lot of milquetoast men in America today that really need to man up and be the men that they're called to be. And the fact that your dad did these things and your dad said these things, I think that there's just something within God's ecosystem that is right about hearing and seeing these things from Dad.
Amen. And he's just living out the biblical truths of biblical manhood and womanhood that, again, all start from Genesis. And you know, every single thing that I've said about my dad, you need to understand that there was a helper in the background.
Absolutely.
And my mother consistently, you know, she would... she would be there and confirm things from my father. And, you know, sometimes you could, even if there was a disagreement, my mother was very, very careful to come alongside Dad and you know, just really be his support in just about every situation.
So important. So important. Steve, I think, you know, I personally believe that smartphones should be considered an adult toy. Why do parents turn a blind eye to the dangers of allowing their kids to enjoy every new gadget and social media tool that comes along the pike before thoroughly checking it out? What's your counsel on this subject?
Yeah, I do agree, and there's not only is it dangerous for children's worldview, it's just simply dangerous for them these days with the stalkers and all of those sorts mm-hmm. of things around. You know, parents need to understand that that they are the influence for children, not their peer groups, not their texting buddies, not their, you know, they're the ones that need to be growing godly children. Our children are not, we think they're born with the discernment. They are not born
right.
with discernment.
That's right.
And it takes time and years of good, strong, consistent teaching and discipline with our kids to bring them to that stage. So I completely agree. And just the fact that so many families that are being broken down by just avoidance of communication, which these devices give a great opportunity yeah. for.
Steve, your book is called Raising Godly Kids in an Ungodly World, and as we've been discussing today, that is not an easy task. We are down to the last moments on the program. If you only had 30 seconds to change the parenting world around you, what would be your best counsel to wrap things up?
My best counsel would be to take the chapters of Deuteronomy 6 and 7 very seriously, to put the Word of God before your children all the time and be constantly living and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is only His transforming work on the cross and His resurrection in victory over sin and death that actually brings people into salvation and renewed spirit and renewed life, that they can be sanctified and grow in His holiness and glorify His name.
Very well said. Steve, yeah. I want you to know that that's exactly what's taking place at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and we're kind of a proving ground for the things that you guys are teaching there at Answers in Genesis and what Scripture has been saying for from the beginning. So, God bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a treat.
God bless you both, too. Thank you very much.
Our guest today has been Steve Hamm. Again, Steve is the Senior Director of Worldwide Outreach for Answers in Genesis and host of the popular weekly podcast, Answers Conversations. You can find those and find out more about Steve's work with Answers in Genesis at answersingenesis.org. And that is our program for this week. Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. You know, it's not cheap to provide a year's worth of residential treatment for a child in need, and that's why we'd like to ask you to join us as a ministry partner. Your financial gift in any amount can do so much, and we'd be most grateful for anything you can do to help the work here. You can donate securely online when you visit licensedtoparent.org. And remember that we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and all gifts are tax deductible when you visit licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, reminding you that good parenting takes practice. So make plans to join us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.